So we are really excited to share with you guys this morning. We're nervous, we're excited, but we know that God's going to speak through us today. Real quick, there was 23 of us that went to Camp Barnabas. And so as you can imagine, there's quite a few of us that are going to be sharing today, and we have a slideshow to show you. And so I just pray that you just kind of open your hearts and just to receive as we share testimonies of what God did, and allow yourselves just to enter in with us. And I hope you guys leave here excited and more encouraged. I'm just going to pass it off to Tony, and he's going to kind of give us an introduction.
Well, I am kind of co-leader with the youth group, assistant, whatever you want to call me. It doesn't matter. Usually every summer, the youth, we go on a trip. And these past two summers, this summer and last, the Lord has led us to Camp Barnabas. And what Camp Barnabas is, if you're not familiar with it, it's a Christian camp that's geared at people with disabilities, children with disabilities. And what they do is they group up people that have disabilities. There's different weeks, different terms that they have so that they can best suit those needs the needs that they have, such as autism. It could be in wheelchairs, blind, deaf, whatever it may be. This week that we went, we had blind, deaf, Asperger's, children with Asperger's, and chronic illnesses. Also, there were a few in wheelchairs as well. They have staff there that basically run the cabins, that run the camp, and they also have volunteers. And the volunteers that they have specific roles for them. There's those who are called Christians in Action, which are one-on-one with the campers that come to camp. And there are also barnstormers, and they're more of the hands and the feet of the camp. They serve, they clean, they serve the food, they clean the dishes, they do all the dirty work, clean the bathrooms, you name it. And then there's also cabin moms and dads, which we had some cabin moms go. And also a really unique program that they had, which is called Missionary Partners. And it was really kind of cool because this year, just to be honest, Leanne and I, you know, I'm kind of speaking for her, we were really nervous, just us, you know, individually. Like, what are we going to get ourselves into this year? Because last year was a very challenging year at camp for us. We didn't know what to expect. First of all, we didn't know what camp looked like. For me, I got sick last year, and that's, you know, no fun at all, really. And Leanne, she had a very challenging camper, really stretched her. So Leanne and I were just kind of apprehensive. We were really nervous about the whole thing. And we got paired up together, which is kind of strange. Two of the youth group leaders paired together in this program, Missionary Partners. And what the missionary partners, what they do, what they are, they're former campers who are older, maybe in their later teenage years, early 20s, who decide to come back to camp to serve. And they're people with disabilities as well. And, you know, they want to give back to Barnabas, give back to what, you know, they received. And also, you know, Lee and I, we were CIAs, and there were also other CIAs, and it was really strange because we were all youth group leaders, and that was really cool to get to work with fellow leaders as well. And some of the things that the MPs did on a daily basis, we would serve the entire camp. We would greet the campers as they go to breakfast. We would water the flowers and plants around camp. We would also sort the mail and deliver the mail, and that usually took us a good 3 hours or so. And we would also deliver, or not deliver, but we would pass out popsicles or other frozen treats at what was called open activity time at the pool. And that was my favorite part of the day because, I mean, all you do is just pass them out. But it was a time to fellowship. It really was. And to fellowship with our MPs and with the other campers that were there. And I got to interact with our youth group a little bit more. Last year, I felt totally disconnected from our group. We only had about six or seven that went last year. And this year, I felt like I got closer to our youth group. I really bonded with the girls this year, which was weird. Also the MPs, we would also help at the parties. We would serve food, whatever they need. I'll talk about very briefly, we had, six or seven MPs that came. There were, three girls or four girls? Four girls and three boys. I'll talk mostly about the boys, and Leanne will talk about the girls, I think, maybe. But before I get to the boys, very briefly, there were two girls in particular that really touched my heart that I really grew to love and just, I don't know, they're very special people. They were two girls in their 20s who were in wheelchairs, power chairs, and basically they were one-on-one or more, and they needed full support. And there was one girl named Lauren, and we'll see in the slideshow. She was a complete nonverbal, and she was in the power chair, but she had a communication device as well. But her heart towards the Lord was evident, and just her willingness to serve no matter what, no matter what her condition was. It didn't matter, and it was just evident that the Holy Spirit was working through her, and that really revved me up, and I just fell in love with her. She was so special. Now, talking about the boys, there were three of them. There was one, an 18-year-old boy. He was girl crazy, and he was deaf. He had a cochlear implant in his ear, so he could hear partially. There was another boy, 16, who was in a power chair, just in the wheelchair, and I was grouped with another youth pastor, younger pastor, and we were basically helping him do all of his hygiene, helping him get all this food, everything, you name it. And with him in particular, it was very stretching for me. I got out of my comfort zone. I'm not used to that kind of thing, even though I am a special education teacher. That really stretched me big time. And it really helped me to appreciate what his parents go through on a daily basis just so that he can live. And it was awesome to serve him. And I grew to love him very, very deeply and just had that connection with him. And then there was another MP. His name was Ping Wei, he was a 31-year-old who is intellectually disabled. But with him, we had a very close relationship that week at camp, to say the least. We were like brothers, literally, just picking on each other, messing with each other all week long, and that was great. and I'm glad I got to meet him. Another thing that we got to do that was really cool with the MP program was we got to prepare a devotional. The boys and the girls did it separately, and that's my world. I love discipleship. I love sharing the word. I love getting into the word, and that was awesome. So I was blessed by that. Now, just a couple more things. I have just a few scripture to share. Now, thinking about Camp Barnabas as a whole, the Lord led me to 1 Corinthians. Yeah, laugh, youth group. Ha, ha, ha. That's an inside joke. And the Lord led me to 1 Corinthians, and Paul was writing about the body of Christ, and basically he's talking about divisions, and he's addressing all that. But I just have three scriptures to share with you. And this is Paul once again. He's talking about the body of Christ and how we're all separate, but we are one body. And starting out in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Verse 22, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Remember that word, indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Now, the key word, like I said, indispensable. Okay, these campers, these MPs that came, the world might view them as maybe not as important. They might not have a bigger role in the world, or they may not be able to do as much according to their disability. But I'm going to tell you, they are indispensable in the body of Christ. And that's how the Lord views them. And to me, when I saw these teenagers and young adults serving, you know, I just got a glimpse of their hearts and just how dedicated and how willing they were to serve at camp and give back. And I felt the Holy Spirit working through them. And it really encouraged me, because, you know, us, being so blessed, you know, seeing them go out of their comfort zone, going out of, their zone, or whatever you want to call it, you know, we have that same responsibility. And, you know, we have excuses, daily excuses, not to serve, not to give, not to love. And that encouraged me. And then in closing, just a personal note that the Lord did while I was at camp. It was really cool. This past year has been very difficult for me, professionally and just personally in general. And I kind of had a very hard heart. I could just towards people in general, and just really kind of sheltered my heart. And it was hard for me to connect. It's with people, my friends, my family, you know, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's been difficult for me to do that. And then at camp, just the whole MP program, it's so family-based. It's so tight. It's the body of Christ. It's a picture of the body of Christ. And just letting myself out there really has helped me to connect more with people and truly love them. And it's a step in the right direction. I just had a major breakthrough with that. And, you know, I just thank the Lord for that. And he knew I needed that connection again. Now, I just want to thank those of you who supported us financially through all of the fundraising, the slave drive, auction, whatever you want to call it. And more importantly, thank you for your prayers. We needed it. I needed it big time. So next up, we have Stephanie Groves. Yeah, there you are. And she'll share.
Well, at first, I wanted to go to camp. I had been praying about it for quite a while, and I really felt like God wanted me to go. And everyone that had gone last year really wanted me to go and made it sound like it was really fun. So I was pretty excited to go until time got closer. It seemed like all my friends knew that I was going to be gone that week. My friends invited me to a One Direction concert, and I usually get to go to another camp, and I had to miss it to go to this camp, and I usually go camping. So I had to miss all that, but I'm really glad that I did because God really worked through me. But it didn't really hit until I went to Leanne's for the meeting. Then I was really not wanting to go. I was trying to think of any excuse I could to not go. So on the way down there, I kept telling myself, okay, Stephanie, you just need to suck it up and quit whining, and you need to be happy. So when I got there, I thought I was going to be a CIA, which is what I wanted to be, but I also knew there was a chance I would be a barnstormer due to my age. So we got there, and they give us our cards that tell us what we're going to be, and mine said a barnstormer. And I was kind of upset, but then I found out that almost every girl in our youth group was going to be a barnstormer, and we would get to stay in the same cabin. So I thought, this could be fun. And so we go to our cabins, and then we go straight to training. And they talk so fast, and there's so many different steps to cleaning a toilet and washing dishes. It's so overwhelming. And being happy and being excited about doing this was becoming really tough for me. But then, even though we're a barnstormer, we get to have our own cabin to go to activities with. And my cabin, I don't know, I would try to talk to them, and they would say nothing back. I would just sit there and watch them do their activities, and they wouldn't even act like I was there. I'd try to compliment them or something, and they'd just stare at me like I was a freak. But Wednesday, things really started to turn around for me. My attitude had changed dramatically. My campers were actually starting to talk to me first, and I could actually carry on a conversation with them. And to see the campers' faces and the joy, they acted like there was not a problem in the world, even though they couldn't walk or hear or see or whatever. And you know nobody judges you at camp. You can act however crazy you want and just be yourself, and the campers know they won't be judged for their disabilities. One thing I took home, I guess, or they made me think about from camp was enjoy life while you have it. Spend time with your family or your kids. Don't let it pass, because you are really missing out, and someday they're not going to be with you or here on earth. But I really loved camp and being able to meet all these wonderful and amazing people, and we never say the R word, which is retarded, because they're not. They're human beings just like me and you, but some are different than most of us, which makes them special. And I knew God worked in and through me this week. I went to Camp Barnabas.
Okay, next we're going to have Skylar come up and share.
When I first signed up to go to camp, I wasn't really quite sure what to expect. You know, it was just kind of, you know, I hadn't really heard anything too bad about it, so I figured it was all right. So, you know, but when we actually got there, and when we were getting ready to go on the trip, kind of started to get a little anxious, you know, get a little worried, but because I just wasn't sure about everything, didn't know what to expect, but when we got there, we got settled in and stuff, and the campers started arriving a little later. One thing that just kind of stood out to me about them is just how joyful and happy they are. They're just so carefree. They just enjoy life. But, you know, we have a tendency to, even though we don't even have any disabilities, we can find so many different things to complain about, but they don't have anything to complain about, really. I think that kind of what changed me was just seeing that, and kind of made me look at my life and see just how unhappy I can be sometimes. And most of the time it's just over small stuff, but that's just one thing that kind of changed me. But thanks.
Megan, I'm going to have Megan come up and share. She was really stretched last week, but she did good.
Oh, well. Hi. Okay, so Camp Barnabas was a lot of fun, and like we've been saying, really, we have not very many things to complain about, like, at all. And they're so joyful. When you first see them, when you first arrive, and they're not there yet, but then once they come, they look so happy. Well, most of them. There were a couple kids that weren't very happy, but a lot of them were so joyful. They would just smile, the biggest smile you've ever seen. And it was funny because one of the things that the Lord has been putting me through is dealing with people that I'm not very enthusiastic about, I guess. Like, there's this girl at camp that didn't have very many friends, and she would always come up to me, and she was a barnstormer, and she would always give me high fives and talk to me. And yeah, that was fine, until it got to the point where every time we passed while we were working, she'd give me a high five. That's when it started to get a little bit annoying. So then I told Brianna, and then she basically told me, well, in a nicer way, but she said, well, she doesn't have very many friends. Just suck it up. So there's this. So it went on for a little bit. Then she starts coming up to me when I was sitting around trying to be alone, overstimulated, trying to be by myself. And she asks, what am I doing? And I just simply said, just getting away from all the noise and people, trying to give her the hint that I just want her to go away. And so I'm waiting in silence, and she's still there. So I just say that I'll see her later and go somewhere else, you know, and just kind of walk away. And then later in the week, I get to clean bathrooms. And she gets put in the same group as I do. So what ends up happening is that in every cabin, there are like 4 showers, 5 sinks, 4 toilets, and a bath. And I get to do the floor, she gets to do the bath, and then there was a girl in the sinks and the toilets. And the person that has to do the floors has to start while everybody else is doing everything else. And it so happens that the bathtubs seem to be spotless. And so she just sprays them down with disinfectant, and I'm sitting here still cleaning the floors, and then after the girls are done with everything else, they come to help me on the floors, and she's just standing there, and that starts to tick me off a little bit. And then, so I just got so mad and started thinking to myself, well, no wonder nobody wants to be your friend. She acts like a little lost puppy, follows you around, and oh boy, was I just, oof. Yeah, that was pretty hard. So, but by the end of the week, she offered me a hug, and I did give her a hug, and I guess it wasn't so bad, and I didn't really have anything to complain about, but it ended up being okay, and so that was just something that I've been put through throughout the week that might not have been the best, but I guess it was an experience. So, sorry. So at Camp Barnabas, oh my gosh. One thing that impacted my life at Camp Barnabas was the other barnstormers. You don't realize, like, when people tell you that they're your brother and sister in Christ, and you're like, yeah, whatever. But when you have to clean with people in a whole week and strangers that you don't know, and don't necessarily want to be around. And you really get to understand that, yes, they are your brothers and sisters, just like your brothers and sisters. They get on your nerves. Sometimes you feel like strangling them. And you just really, like, that really stretched me. You really get to learn that they are your brothers and sisters, and you just learn to love them and care for them. So thank you.
All right, Delaney's going to come up and share. She, too, was a barnstormer last week.
Hi. So I am the kind of person that I get really excited about doing something from the time that I hear about it until about 10 minutes before we leave. And then I start to get really scared and really nervous, and something clicks in me, and I just completely shut down and don't want to be any part of it anymore. And I told myself with Camp Barnabas that that wasn't going to happen, that I was going to be fine, and that I was going to be excited about it and have a good attitude the whole week. And it didn't happen. It was the night before, and we had to have everything packed, and I was really stressed out, and I didn't know what to do. And we were cramming everything in, trying to get everything in both vans. And I thought I was going to have a mental breakdown. I didn't think I was going to be able to sleep that night, but I did. And we got on the way to Camp Barnabas. We drove there, and we got our stuff out. We got settled in. We learned our jobs that we were going to be doing that week. And they took all the barnstormers and sat them down in this big room on the concrete floor and put this big screen in front of us. And we watched about this 20-minute movie and explained every detail of everything we had to do that week. And then they were basically like, okay, here's what you have to do, now go do it. And so I think a lot of us were really overwhelmed, and we were afraid that we weren't going to be good enough, or that we were going to do something wrong, and somebody wasn't going to think that we had done a good enough job. But once we actually started to do it, I was just amazed at how much love and support everyone showed. And whenever there was something that somebody needed help with or couldn't do by themselves, there was always somebody to step in and help. And I think that was really impacted me with Camp Barnabas, is it was a stretching experience, and it was something that put us out of our comfort zone, but everybody really just showed the love of God in stepping in to help when we couldn't do things on our own. So,
okay, now we'll have Tina and then our long-awaited slideshow.
Okay. I already got my Kleenex. Camp Barnabas was something I had been praying about doing for about a year before it came about. When they went last year, I decided, you know, this is something that I really want to do. So, you know, time went by, and Leanne asked me, you know, you said you want to go. Do you want to go? And stuff. This was something that was completely out of my comfort zone. But I didn't know how much till I got there. I was totally going to be stretched. I was overwhelmed the first day, put in a room with somebody I didn't know. I didn't get to be in with anybody I knew. And but we became very good friends by the end of the week. She was awesome. We talked about God. We shared. When I had my meltdowns and she had her meltdowns, we were there for each other. So God knew that I needed that person. And I was put into a cabin as a cabin mom. That first night, we had family time. Each night, we had family time with our cabin and the CIAs. I got to know the hurts of these girls, the CIAs, they were carrying. I wanted to fix them. There's that mom coming out, and it's like, I can fix them. But, you know, I just, I knew God was telling me in the heart. He's like, you're not going to fix them. I'm going to fix them. So the next day, you know, I'm a comfort person. I don't like to be taken out of my comfort zone. God really knew that this week. He really pushed me on that. We had a lady that came in, and she wanted the cabin that I was in because there was a deaf child that really needed this deaf person that she was with. So they asked me, after I'd got to know the girls in my cabin and stuff, they're like, we need to move you. And I'm just standing there. I was overwhelmed. I was like, but I don't want to be moved. But anyway, I moved willingly, and I was put into another cabin, and I went into that cabin, and I said, hi, I'm your mom for the week. Oh, my goodness. That is truly how they treated me the rest of the week. It was like their mom. I had adopted two cabins at this point, and I had 18 CIAs, four staff, plus my camper girls that came in that day. It was such an experience that week. I asked God daily and prayed to show me what I needed to work on in my life daily. And he did. He did. Daily, I got it. On the second day, I got a new roommate. Oh, my goodness. I can't express that he tested me with that roommate. You know, I don't think she liked me. But God gave me such a peace. I mean, I was overwhelmed with peace and a comfort that week that I'd never had. And truly was like, I'm going to get along with you, you know, because I knew that that lady probably had a lot of pains. You know, she probably had something in her life that she came there to get healed or to get help with. And anyway, okay. And to get me by that week, I knew that God was going to be there. I knew that he was showing me the areas through that lady, through taking me out of the comfort zone, that he was showing me things in my life that I needed to change and that I needed help on, which was very good, but it was very hurtful. Now, I got told I love you so much that week. I got so many hugs that week that you can't imagine the love and the patience through those children. This was God. God shows himself through people, through faces. It was awesome. My cabin did canoeing, fishing, archery, target shooting, swimming, camping, and much more. It's amazing what this camp does for these disabled children. It was so heart-touching. I got to pray with people, you know, the people that run this camp. They got needs and hurts, too. I got to see those. By the end of the week, one of my staffers, she got a huge migraine headache. And she asked, I went up to her and I said, can I pray for you? Because, I mean, they don't get to stop. Even though they're not feeling good, they got to keep going because they got a whole cabin of CIAs and campers to take care of. So I prayed for her. When I opened my eyes, she had tears running down her face. And she said, thank you for being my mom. When my mom's not here, we truly needed you this week. And you are our mom. And I'm like, that's what I came here for. That's what you wanted out of me, God. And thank you that you gave me this experience. When you come into this camp, there's a huge gate. You leave yourself at that gate. And when you come out, you pick yourself back up again. Because you can't take yourself in there. You can't take your self-control. You can't take your selflessness. You can't take that in there. Because that's not what God wants. He wants you to go in there willingly and to be a helpmate and to do what he wants, not what you want. And I just want to thank you all for giving me that experience and praying for us. It was felt each day. Thank you very much.
All right, now we're going to just have the slideshow, and you guys can kind of get a sneak peek into our week last week.
Hunger and we thirst, refuse to waste our
All right, so as you guys heard from the testimonies of our barnstormers, it wasn't an easy week by any means. We were all very stretched, put out of our comfort zones. And some of you, you know, might be thinking like, wow, that doesn't sound like any fun at all. And there was times where it wasn't any fun. But, I mean, just thinking about Christ, like it wasn't very fun for him to walk up to Calvary and be crucified, but he did that because of his love for us. You know, that's how he demonstrated his love, and that's how we were able to demonstrate Christ's love, by getting out of our comfort zones, by working our butts off, by doing things that we might not normally do or feel comfortable with, but that's what we did for a week every day. And to do that, you know, Christ did something in us, you know. And so now we're going to hear from some of our CIAs, our Christians in Action, and they're the ones that were paired up with a camper one-on-one, and they're kind of like their parent for a week. And I think first I have Maya. She'll be going first and sharing about her experience.
Well, I was a CIA that week, but every other week, I've been there 4 weeks in a row, or not in a row, but this summer, and I was a barnstormer, so I understand you guys. But what I'm planning to talk about today is just the trust I had to have in God, and there's different types of trust. You have the right trust and the wrong. Most of the time, I had the wrong kind of trust in him. At camp, as you know, they have barnstormers who do the cleaning, and the CIAs who get campers. I've been a barnstormer 4 times. One time last year, 3 times this year. And each time before I go to camp, I would say to God, God, I'm trusting in you to make me a CIA. That wasn't really trust. That was just me telling him what I wanted. Because that's really all I wanted, and I thought I was ready. So I'd trust God over and over to make me a CIA. Every time I went to camp, I was disappointed and humiliated that yet again, he made me a barnstormer, when all I wanted to be was a CIA. At term 6, when the whole church went, I was, like, really excited because I thought I'd be a CIA again. But instead of saying, God, I want you to make me a CIA, I said, I'm trusting you to know whether I should be a CIA or a barnstormer. So I get there, and we get our cards, and it says I'm a barnstormer. I was disappointed, but I wasn't going to let God down, so I worked as hard as I could for the first day. Then the first day, I asked Sarah, who's the volunteer coordinator, I was like, why didn't you make me a or a CIA? And she says, one of the barnstorming leaders said that I wasn't ready. I was very disappointed and upset because I knew most of the barnstorm leaders very well. But one day, they were looking for a CIA who knew some sign language. I didn't know very much, but I got the basics of it. But there was other barnstormers they wanted to ask, so they asked many. When one of my best friends at camp, Felix, who's the barnstorm leader for the guys, told Sarah that there was no one he would rather see a CIA than me, and that he would highly recommend me. So she made me a CIA, which made my whole week. I was very excited but very nervous. As soon as I got my camper card, I knew it was going to be a tough camper. It said that she was completely deaf. She only knew sign language, and she had no hearing aid. And that she had diabetes. I was very worried and very stressed. And so I just like, God, I'm trusting in you to know what I need. And I meet my camper. Like most CIAs, they go up and greet their camper. I missed my camper. They said her name was Lynetta on my paper, but they call her my era. So that was very hard because I didn't meet her till like half an hour after she got there. So yeah. But I'm talking to her, and she reads lips. She has no idea what sign language is. She has a hearing aid, and she's perfectly capable of taking care of herself when they said she needed help with everything. and she has pre-diabetes. So I was like, trusting in God really works. So I was very happy. And then again, when I got to my cabin, I was like, I don't know any of these girls. I don't know any of these people. And I was really worried they wouldn't like me at first. And then I find out that they switched the cabin mom, and Mrs. Groves is my cabin mom. So I was very happy about that because I had a friend. And then I figured out that the Barnstormers was my best friend, Alexis, and my sister, Brianna. So God's just working in wonderful ways. And then I actually found out that three of the CIAs who were there were Barnstormers with me last year. So I knew basically everyone. After, like, a while, like, with Myra, she just, like, really blessed me. And she, like, taught me a lot. She is very caring about me. And she loved my sister and my mom for some reason. She'd always talk about them. I really don't know why. It was another time I had a problem, like, with trusting with God. When we go to the pool, she can't go underwater because her ears. So we were going down the slide, and we went too fast, and she went completely underwater. And I was like, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen? Because this could be really bad. So I get out of the water, and she's crying, and she's screaming, and she's yelling at me. She's like, it hurts, it hurts, it hurts. And I was really worried. I'm like, God, please let it not be her ears. So I'm starting to take her to where we go get medicine and, like, see the nurses, called the Well House. And I was like, oh, I hope it's not her ears. And I asked God, I was like, please just heal her, whatever it is. And I ask her, because she keeps yelling, it hurts, it hurts. I'm like, what hurts? And she's like, my nose, I have water in my nose. And I was just, like, relieved. And she just really scared me. I was really scared. That was just, like, a really hard time I had. But God, like, throughout it all, he really just helped me. And he just did amazing things through me. And next year, I'm hoping me and some other of the people who went this year, we want to try and go the whole summer, which is a big stretch, and it's going to cost a lot, and it's going to be hard. But I want to, Mom, can you bring up the little piggy bank? If you remember during the 30-hour famine, I did, like, this little change thing, and I thought, like, if we did it throughout the whole year, we should raise enough for, I think, like, 5 people who want to go the whole summer. And I just really hope that you guys could help us out, and this would be a big blessing to all of us. So thank you for listening.
All right, Alex is going to share.
How's it going? Okay, well, I'm going to be talking about tough love today. At Camp Barnabas, I learned that love is a verb for a reason. You know, we have other verbs like running and speaking, like what I'm doing now, always involves action. Let me tell you a little bit about my camper first. His name was Samuel Morrison. He was about 11 years old. He's adopted from China. And on the paper, it said his disabilities were he was hard of hearing, which never really came out because he could hear someone clear across the room. Also said he had ADHD, but this never really came out except in our cabin wrestling tournaments. And so basically the entire week was just spent caring for a normal kid. I had to make sure he took his sunscreen, water bottle, and bug spray with him. Then I had to make sure that he used his sunscreen, water bottle, and bug spray. And then I had to go back and look for the lost sunscreen, water bottle, and bug spray. So I had the thought about halfway through the week, am I really loving this kid enough? Because there wasn't any emotional love in there, or none that I could feel. And so I was kind of worried, you know. I'd shown up, and I was supposed to be caring for this kid. Am I loving him? And God brought to my mind, he said, you know, true love results in action. You know, even though there weren't any emotions, or none that I could think of, that were involved with this, there was hard work going into this, caring for this kid. You know, Jesus, if all he had was emotional love going to the cross, he would have quit long ago. Because being nailed to a tree and sitting up there for 6 hours, emotional love doesn't carry you through that. And it doesn't feel like emotional love when you're going through that either. And either did caring for Sam Morrison. I mean, don't get me wrong, he wasn't a hard kid. But it just made me redefine how I love someone. You know, I can choose to love someone even if I don't have those feelings inside of me. And so the application I got from Camp Barnabas was that I can choose to put love to action. So thank you all for sending us.
Okay, now Marissa is going to go up and share. She was there quite a lot like Maya was this year. She was there a long time.
Hi, you guys. Like Leanne said, I was there for a total of 4 weeks this summer. Week one, week four, week five, and week six. Maya was my partner in crime for the summer, and we had a great time. I was a CIA the whole summer, which means that I had the amazing opportunity to love on four different children. Well, not children, people. They were all older than me, but still. Week one, I was able to care for a boy with autism. His name was Sean, and he was 17. Week four, I was able to deal with a 19-year-old who had cerebral palsy and was in a wheelchair. So that was a hard week. Week five, I had a 16-year-old with autism. Her name was Hannah. And last week, I had a deaf camper with mental retardation who was 16 and was my favorite camper. I learned a lot this summer. So much different stuff just thrown at me. I have battle scars. My hair was pulled. I was bit. I have a chunk taken out of my thumb. I have a scar on my ankle. But there was one camper last week. She wasn't my camper, but she was in my cabin. Her name was Savannah. She was 16, but her mental age was 18 months old. She had cerebral palsy. She had Angelman syndrome. She had Parkinson's disease when she's 16. She had intellectual disability, just everything that was wrong with her. And she was our, you know, violent camper. She pulled hair, bit, grabbed at anything that she could. And it was just, God just really showed me how different she is compared to us, and how special she is, and that she's perfect just the way she is, even though she communicates differently. And I smile every time she grabbed my hair because it made me know that she wanted my attention, and that she wanted me close to her, whether it's forcefully or not, she still wanted me there. A Bible verse that really stuck out this summer was 1 Corinthians 12:18, which is, "But in fact, God has planned the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." So if they're deaf or if they're blind or if they can't walk, they're that way because God wanted them that way. And it's not for us to look down on them or think that they're any less than us. They're just as equal as us. We all have our little perks or our little disabilities. Some are just not as common as others. These campers are the happiest people I've ever met. Coming into camp, you know, I'm sure you've heard this, everyone said it, they're just the happiest people ever, and they are. They have joy in life, and they're able to appreciate the little things that we can't appreciate because it means more to them than it does to us. Last week, my camper, Josie, she was born without ear canals. When she was five, they were reconstructed, and she was able to wear hearing aids. She had mental retardation, so her mental age was six. Because she was able to hear at five, she'd lost the ability to talk. She wasn't able to mimic or learn it. And she knew sign language. She was just lazy with it and didn't want to sign. So she could hear me, but she couldn't talk back to me, so she used her facials a lot. She'd be excited, and she'd be like, really excited, and she'd clap, and she'd ooh, 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 like an owl, because that was the only noise she could make. So throughout the week, I really just stopped talking, because she couldn't communicate. She couldn't talk, so why should I talk? She ended up being my best friend, so I was going to make her as comfortable as possible. So I just didn't talk. I used my facials, and I communicated the way that she communicated, and we bonded so much. Just all the campers that I had to take care of, whether it was feeding them or changing their brief, taking them out of their wheelchair onto the bed, putting their shoes on, sitting there for 10 minutes because they don't want to put their shoes on and go to dinner, and trying to get them to get out of bed when they won't get out of bed. It was just a great experience, and I really learned a lot. And I just want to thank the church and thank everybody for allowing me to go for 4 weeks. And thank Leanne, because she drove me and Maya down there. You know, it was an eight-hour trip, 4 hours there, 4 hours back. And Leanne did it, you know, like four times more than she needed to. So just wanted to thank everybody, and it was a great time.
Okay, Brant is going to share.
Hi, I was a CIA this year. I had a camper. His name was Shane Roberts. He was blind. He was hard of hearing, but wasn't really noticeable because of hearing aids. And even when he had them out, still pretty good. And then also anxiety. And then I'm not sure if there was some mental thing or something, because I know first day when we gave him showers, he had this like really big scar down his back from, I guess, a bunch of spinal surgeries when he was younger. So I'm not sure if there was something else there. His paper, like they give us at the beginning, that kind of explains what they have and stuff, wasn't super clear on everything. But anyways, he was really funny. He had a lot of like funny quirks and stuff, and so he was really enjoyable, and he taught me a lot of things and really helped me grow as a person and really learn. And kind of one of the things that I just want to talk about is like having a blind camper. They're attached to you the entire week. You have to do everything for them. You have to do everything for, you don't have to like do everything for them, but you have to help, you have to assist them with everything. So like clothes in the morning, you have to pick them out for them. You can hand it to them. You have to hand it to them the right way though, or they might put them on backwards and stuff like that. And so you always had to make sure that you always had to help them, assist them, I guess you could say, with everything. And so basically that really made me think, and it's kind of like a normal thing that you pull from this, but just like how blessed I am as like that I can wake up every morning, I can look at my clothes, and I can be like, okay, that goes with that, it matches, and I'm going to put that on. And I do that every day, and I don't even think about the fact that I'm blessed that I can do that, the fact that I can actually do that without thinking about it, that I can go to the bathroom by myself without someone having to make sure that I'm sitting on the toilet right and that I'm not sitting off of it or something so that it goes everywhere, you know, so that I'm, like, actually doing it correctly, you know. And I don't think about, I mean, everybody, it's just something that's normal. You can just do it, and you don't have to worry about it. And it's just something that I really, you know, that all of us in general and I take for granted and stuff. And I realize, like I said, it's something very common to take, but I think it's one of those John 3:16 type of deals where it becomes so common to think about that it just kind of, it loses its meaning and its value, even though it's something really, really important that we need to hear and we kind of need to listen to, which is why I really kind of think it's something that we all need to think about. It's just like, it's not like every time something happens you have to, every time you do something, like putting your clothes on in the morning and be like, oh, I'm so blessed to do this. But it's just like every now and then, like when you're doing something like that, you remember, what if I couldn't do this? You just think about, it's really weird to think about. Like, what if I woke up one morning and I wasn't able to, you know, do that? I needed help, like putting clothes on or something like that. And it's just, it's really cool to think about like that. And then another thing that I kind of want to think about is, this was kind of something that, I guess you could say it was kind of over the past year, is like how when I went there last year, I had a pretty hard camper. He was really, I don't know, like disobedient, I guess you could say. I don't know. It was tough to deal with him, and basically pushed me to my limit and like basically like pushed me over the edge to the point where it was. And then my camper this year, he like was very dependent, and he like things I had to do for him and stuff like that, it was more out of my comfort zone. And I thought that was really awesome, like how God worked that, like through these 2 years, how he basically prepared me for this year by last year by giving me like insight on like what it was. So this year my patience and stuff had grown like tremendously, and I was much more patient with situations that I need to be patient with. If he would have been my camper first year, situations would probably turn out a lot worse than they should have. Like just because of how well I was prepared, God prepared me last year with my camper, patience-wise, and just helping me, like, with that. And so, yeah, and so that was pretty much it. So, yeah, that's pretty good.
All right, lastly, we have Jennifer who's going to come up and share.
All right, you have to bear with me because I have kind of a cold, so if I start coughing, I'm sorry. All right, first of all, when Tony started talking about 1 Corinthians, that was one of my verses, was 1 Corinthians 12 through 26, chapter 12, verses 12 through 26, so that was pretty cool. The first thing I want to share is in Romans, is 12, 4 through 8. Just as we have, each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all these same functions. So in Christ, we are many. We who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it to, in its proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. I'm going to stop there. What I wanted to specify is the fact that if it's encouraging, let him encourage. And what these campers did this week was encourage. It was amazing, the joy that these people had. In my cabin, I was a cabin mom, and it wasn't the greatest thing for me. It was actually kind of hard because Kara said this, and it kind of brought it to light. What it was that we had to go through was we weren't really needed as much as we thought we would be. We weren't doing as much as we thought we would be, so we'd be walking around doing nothing, just kind of like, okay, do you need anything?
Nope.
We don't need anything. So we would kind of just hang out and do nothing. And Kara said this at our meeting Wednesday, that this is what the Lord wanted, was for us just to sit and to be still and to just take in what these kids were doing, what the campers were doing, what the CIAs were doing, and how blessed we were to see kids that are 16, 17, and 18 taking care of young adults who are in their 20s and they're, you know, some almost 31, taking care of these adults, you know, 24 hours a day for 5 or 6 days, and what a challenging issue that could be, and how hard it would be for a 16-year-old to take care of a 20-year-old who didn't want to be taken care of, who thought she can handle it, he can handle it, I don't need your help, but really they did. In my cabin, I had a lot of blind, and then I had two that had ADHD, and they seemed almost perfectly normal. It was kind of weird, like, why are they there? And their CIAs were both 16, and they were both older. The campers were, and they had a lot of trouble because they were like, we don't need you. I don't want you around. So the first 2 days, they had a lot of anxiety and a lot of scared, like, I can't do this. Why did I come here? They don't want me. They don't want me here. They don't want my help. And by Friday, they were best friends. By Friday, they were like, you're right. I needed you. I'm so glad you were here. I'm so glad you stuck with me. And how neat that was to see the growth in a 16-year-old taking care of someone who was older than them. One thing I had done in my cabin, I had a girl named Sarah, and she was blind. She was 23. She had ADD, ADHD. She is schizophrenic, so that was interesting. And she had anxiety and depression, but yet she was the most positive in our cabin. Every time you talk to her, she'd be like, you're so amazing. You're my best friend. I love you guys. You're my family. And then 10 seconds later, she'd be like, you guys are so amazing. I love you. Thank you so much for being here. It was awesome to see her. And we didn't get to do the video, but she got baptized this week. So that was one of the neatest things I've seen. They contacted her parents, and they said she really wants to be baptized. So we got to go to the pool and baptize her. And the director of Camp Barnabas, who took it over, came down and baptized her, which was a funny event in itself because a schizophrenic, she didn't like being told what to do. She didn't like going down in the water. She didn't want to get on the water. So she said she'd do it her own way. So that was fun. But what a blessing it was to see her CIA be able to touch her in that way and bless her. You ever had a kid that talks incessantly? Anybody ever had that? Because I do. Yeah. Okay, well, this girl, Sarah, talked incessantly. I mean, I thought David and Hannah talked a lot, but she talks way more. And she talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. And her camp, her CIA, was just awesome. She was so patient with her. She'd say, okay, Sarah, we can pray about that. Okay, Sarah, what can we do for you? How can we help you? And Sarah prayed for everybody, wanted to pray for everything. And this poor CIA was so stretched, and she was so stressed by the end of the week that the Lord just had to just refill her every so often. We'd be like, all right, we'll take care of it for a few minutes. We'll take a break. Go do something you want to do on your own for 10 minutes just so she didn't have to listen to her. But when she got baptized that day, it blessed her, and she could see the fruit of her labor come to fruition right then and there, and how exciting that was. So that was one of the awesome things that happened to me. Another thing was when Brianna was there, she would come to me every day. I hate this. I don't want to be here. I hate this. Why did you make me come? I was like, I didn't make you come. You wanted to come. So by Wednesday, she's like, okay, it's not so bad. I like it. She goes, I'm never coming back, but it's okay. And by Friday, she's like, well, maybe I'll come back next year. We'll see. So it's amazing what God can do in 1 week with people. It was pretty cool. One of my other campers I had, her name was Emily, and she was blind, but she was the funniest camper I've ever seen. She has an amazing testimony. She has lots of sisters and brothers, and they live on a farm, and something happened to her when she was like 14, and she doesn't remember anything from 14 to the time she was born, because somehow, some way, she got a gun and she shot herself, and she lived through it, but she was blind from now on. But yet she, even though she couldn't remember her first 14 years of life, she was so happy. She was so joyful. She knew the Lord had saved her for a reason. She knew that she could be an example for Christ. And she was the type of person that she would come and talk to you, but she has to touch you because she's blind. So she would come up. Come here, Brittany, I'll show you. This was funny. Can you guys hear me? So she would do that again and again, and then she'd hold your hands, and she'd come up to your ear, and she'd go, fabulous, you're fabulous. And then she would just all these crazy things. Like, she was like a movie in itself. It was hilarious. And just to see those campers just made me so happy, even though I felt like I wasn't doing much. I just got to enjoy them and to see them. And in this verse about encouraging and that we are all one body and we have many members, the Lord showed me that even though they're dependent upon others like that, so are we. What would we do without Walmart? What would we do without a grocery store or a clothing store or the people that, the electricians, the people that take care of our water? We are so dependent upon each other, we don't even realize it. Just as Brant was saying about how blessed we are to be able to clothe ourselves, how blessed we are to have our own house, but yet we're still dependent upon each one of us. We as many members still need each other. We cannot do this on our own. And these campers this week showed me that even though they're more dependent than we are, that we're still dependent upon one another, and that they still have that joy, and they don't let those things weigh us down.
All right, I'm just going to close this out this morning with just some of what the Lord did in my heart last week. I feel like I'm experiencing revival in a lot of ways, and I'm going to get emotional. But Paula, could you put those pictures on the screen? This is some people that changed my life last week. This is Ben. The very first morning that we were there, it was Sunday morning, and I was going to have my quiet time. I woke up very, very early because I knew it was going to be a long day. That's when all the campers were going to arrive, and he was already there. He was an intern, and so that meant he wanted to serve the camp and give back after years and years of him being a camper. And so I was out on the porch of our house, and he came out, and the sun was rising, and I was just trying to get some alone time. I need that, you know, to be able to be energized. And so I was getting some alone time, and here comes Ben out, and he's kind of pacing around the porch, and he knows that I'm there, but he doesn't care. You know, he's just kind of doing his own thing, and the sun's coming up, and I'm just kind of watching him doing my own thing. I look up, he's still there, and the sun's coming up, and he just lifts his hands like this, both of them, to the sun, and he starts singing Amazing Grace. And
It blessed me so much. He made me so happy. And that's how I started my week, and it just got better from there. After he finished singing Amazing Grace, you know, to the Lord, he turns to me and he's like, guess what? Guess what? And I know they all heard this throughout the week. He's like, I'm going to change the world. And I said, Ben, yes, you are. Because it started with me. He changed me, his attitude every day. So he was just a blessing. Then over here we have Haley and we have Lauren. These are the two girls that Tony talked about. I took care of them. I was over four girls, one that was blind, one that had Asperger's, and then these two beautiful women who were both 23. They're from Wichita, Kansas, and they're best friends. Lauren over here is the one on my right in the picture. She started coming to Camp Barnabas, and then she got Haley, her best friend, to come, and they both have cerebral palsy, CP, and Lauren is nonverbal, and that little dot that she has on her nose is how she would communicate. She had a computer screen that was attached to her wheelchair, and she'd just move her head around and click on what she wanted to say. And so it would take a long time for her to communicate, but oh my goodness, she was not dumb in any way. Like, she could express herself, and she had a very powerful testimony, very intelligent, very beautiful heart for the Lord, and as did Haley. She was just a little bit more timid. And so this is what my life was last week, and this is why I feel like why I'm experiencing revival in my heart, because of their love that they had for the Lord and how free they were in showing it despite their obvious disabilities. And it challenged me to reach out and to step out a little bit more, because I have some giftings and talents, and sometimes I just hold back because of unbelief. And this is kind of my testimony, and I'm going to start with this, is going into Camp Barnabas last week, I had a lot of unbelief in my heart because last summer was so difficult when we were there. For me especially, I had a little girl who had Asperger's, and after my week there, they told me that they're going to put her on the no return list. She was beyond control. It was terrible. Attacked me day by day. It was just very difficult. And so they're going to make sure that she was not going to be allowed to come back to camp. And so going into this week, after my experience last week, I was terrified because I knew that I couldn't be a cabin mom. I was too young. And so I knew I was probably going to be a counselor. And I'm like, Lord, I can't take another week like last year, especially after everything that my family and I have been through, taking care of my grandma and just different stresses and just different things. I'm like, Lord, I can't take another week like that. And so I was just going into it very nervous. I even had the thought that I could just drop off my team and head home. You know, I was that scared. And I just had some unbelief in my heart that God could actually change things for me. And so when we got there, and Tony and I found out that we'd be working with the MPs, these guys who want to come back and serve the camp, I was like, okay, this is different. This wasn't a cabin mom. This isn't a counselor. So what is this? And it turned out to be one of the biggest blessings. So it blew my mind. They said we were going to have, I had four girls instead of one. And so it sounds a lot worse than maybe last year, just having one counselor. But these girls that I were over were such a blessing. They just wanted to serve and love Jesus. And that's what we did all week. We watered flowers. We brought popsicles. We shared devotions. And it turned out to be a blessing. And so on last Sunday, or two Sundays ago when we were there, and I realized that I'd come into the week with some unbelief, and that the Lord had given me this blessing of being able to work with these guys, I just got so thankful, and I was so filled with hope for the week and just about who God was. And so I just started thanking him. I would have my quiet time in the morning on that Sunday morning when Ben came out and serenaded me. And I just was so thankful to the Lord, and I felt something being resurrected in my heart. Like, Lord, you came through for me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so this is what happened at that point, when I was just feeling that hope and that thankfulness for what the Lord was going to do that week. I yielded myself to him And that's always just kind of been the theme of my life. When I was 17, I surrendered myself to the Lord, and it just hasn't stopped. And so this is my journal up here. This is the prayer that I prayed, and it kind of changed my week. And it says, and it's from a devotional, and I just kind of, it became my prayer as well. And it says, I am in you. Yield to me so that I can possess every part of you and set you free to live in my fullness. I'm the one who is moving you to do my will. Come to me and I will give you rest. And so I said, okay, Lord, I want to yield to you right now because I'm so thankful that you've given me this blessing after coming here in this unbelief and hardness of heart, not knowing what to expect, but thinking you're going to let me down and toss me back into the fire. And so I became this living sacrifice, and I just laid myself down. I said, Lord, however you want me to serve these four girls this week, then didn't do what you want. And if you guys want to turn with me, Ephesians 5:2, or I can just read it. It became kind of a symbol, Ephesians 5:2. And it says, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And I felt like at that moment when I was just giving myself to the Lord as a living sacrifice, because I was so thankful, it was like a sweet aroma to God. And then something changed. I mean, not only was I experiencing this blessing and feeling like I didn't deserve it because of my unbelief that I came there with, when I yielded myself, I felt like the Lord deep within my spirit was wanting to take me even deeper. And I knew at that point that that was going to be pretty huge. And I didn't know what that meant. You know, I'm like, okay, I feel you in the deepest part of my spirit that you're calling me to go deeper. And I have no idea what this means because this is at the beginning of the week. And so I felt that call. I want to bring you deeper. And he gave me the verse in 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And then another verse that I found was in Psalms 81:10. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. And so I knew that it could be either a really good week or it could be a great week if I allowed the Lord to take me deeper. And he did. And even though I've been struggling all week because I knew was going to share, and I really don't even know how to explain it, but something shifted in me. And all the week that we were there, I experienced something that I have never experienced in my whole Christian walk. And I'm 27 years old, and I've been raised in this church, and I gave my heart to God when I was 17. But I lived in the fullness of God. And there's a verse in Isaiah 54:2 that I read this morning, and it says, enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. And I felt like that's what the Lord was asking me to do. Do not hold back this week, Leanne. I want you to love like you've never loved before. And I knew that in my own strength that I couldn't love these girls like they needed to. And so that's why the Lord was asking me to yield, because when you yield and when you become that living sacrifice, that's when his glory can be revealed. That's when he can love in ways that you've never before imagined. And I'm just going to kind of close this week, or this time. There's a song called Oceans by Hillsong United, and I've been listening to it 10 times a day every day. And it was a song that we sang there, and it was exactly what the Lord was doing in me, because it pushed me to not hold back in my love for the people that were in my cabin, like Lauren and Haley, you know, not just to serve them. That's easy, you know, and at times it was difficult, but to serve them, yeah, you can do that. But I could do that and still not completely give them my heart and give them the love of Christ, you know. And so I was able to love them and say things that it wasn't me, it was the Lord. And here's this song, here's the lyrics. It says, "You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery. In oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will